And it didn't seem all that bad. This morning I got out of bed. I felt like I drank six beers last night at the big party. I only had one. It was a tall one, but hey, it'd been a long day. What am I supposed to do? But here we are on the Need to Know Morning Show. Good morning, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here with you. Kevin and Alex have the day off. And our operations manager, JT, said, hey, Steve-o, I might need you to help us out here on Friday morning. And I said, well, I got one condition. You got to get somebody to help run the board for me because I can do that for my show because I know it. This one has a lot going on, and I could probably stumble my way through it, but it wouldn't be entertaining radio programming for anybody. And so JT said, yeah, I think I can find somebody. And I walk in this morning. Here's my man himself hanging out with me. Good morning, JT.
Good morning to you. We'll make it happen.
I think we will. If you've not met JT before, this guy is a rock star. The guy can do basically any job in the building. He's a darn good radio host on his own, although he'll tell you that he's much more comfortable not doing that. But we love having him around here. He's one of the top people in our whole company and keeps everything rolling here. And yes, when his people, he's a good leader. When his people ask for a day off and there's not an easy fill-in available, he jumps in no matter what time of day. So here I thought he might come in at like 6:03, just in time to fire up the board and get this show going. And I came in, I don't know, 5:35 or something like that. And he had already beaten me here, was just hanging out early just to see if I needed anything. So he's a heck of a man. I don't care what that Scott Hennon says about you.
I was ready to go. I'll slide my $20 under the door here.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. And I think JT and I will both enjoy having a weekend come up. We'll probably sleep in a little bit. Although you got two young ones now, Ole and Ivor. So what, Ole
just turned five.
Five, okay. I was going to say
four. We just had his fifth birthday party just a couple of weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic themed.
Now, I would probably know what that means if I had young kids.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Little blue hedgehog.
Okay.
There's some movies out there now with Jim Carrey, and he's really into that. So.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 balloons later.
Oh, so good, though.
It took 5 years for me to realize we should get a balloon pump. So we have an
electric balloon. I guess if your family likes balloons and you do the balloon thing, that makes some sense. And Ivor is, how old is Ivor now?
Ivor's 2.5.
He'll be
3 in November.
God has been so good to that little boy, right? I mean, at the beginning, he had like some respiratory things and gosh.
We were in the hospital 3 different times before he turned 1.
Yeah.
With some respiratory issues.
Gosh. And now saw him last night over at Kingpin's running around, jumping around, and happy, healthy little guy.
He even hugged you.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he meant to, but he did.
Well, he did. He didn't look alarmed when he looked up to see who it was. JT and I are standing next to each other, and so little Ivor comes running over, and like boys do, right? They're not going to just walk over and like lean up against you. He runs and jumps and, you know, tries to tackle your shins, basically, and then wraps his arms around. Then he looks up, and he looks like, I don't think you're who I thought you were. And then he saw that Dad was right next door. So it was a fun night over at Kingpin. Speaking about kids and families, holy smokes, JT. Could we have had, look, Ryan and Luke, I think, were our other two finalists. We would have been thrilled for anybody. But this family that won it, Steve and Chelsea Pollard, and their family. They've got 4 kids, 3 teenage boys at home. And Steve said, I've never really won anything in my life. I said, well, you have now, brother. How fun was that last night?
Well, when you get a mom in tears, you know you got the right winner.
Correct. And I don't think she was the only one in tears either. There was a number of our team members were a little teary-eyed at the whole thing. And you can only imagine. I don't know Steve and Chelsea. They may be, you know, multi-billionaires and the money's not a big deal to them, but I would assume that they're like most of us, just trying to make ends meet. And 3 teenage boys at home. I asked Chelsea after the thing was done. I said, so how big a deal is this? She goes, I don't even have words. I can only imagine. It's like getting a $10,000 raise, really, right, is what it is.
Yeah.
So they're going to get $833 a month worth of groceries here the next year. And gosh, it was so fun. Thanks everybody who came out. Thanks everybody who qualified. It's not often that you get people that leave a party like that, a giveaway party, and they, so like everybody except one person lost, right? So a lot of people are walking out there going, oh, darn it. But there were so many people who walked out and were saying, hey, thanks guys for doing this. This was really fun. And they didn't win, but so many people were just glad that they were there. And so many people said, I'm kind of glad that family won it. Even the guys that, didn't win at the end, or we had two other finalists that, you know, got their hearts broken at the last minute. But even those guys were pretty good about it. That's what I love about the Flag and DAY listeners. Our people, they're just good people. They just are. It was really fun. Thanks to Nader and the team over at Kingpins for putting a great party on over there. And if you've not thought about Kingpins for a corporate event or a big extended family party, whatever, they really do a nice job. The food is phenomenal over there. They bring out pizza for the event. They brought pizza for the event that we did last night, but Trace and I stopped. We didn't really get a chance to eat last night, so we stopped for a really late supper on our way out over at Barron's there. Same kitchen, obviously, and oh my gosh, their food is so darn good. And you know, we walk in there like 8:30. We're like, are you still serving food? They're like, absolutely. So great people, great service. So thanks to them. Thanks to ND Estate Services, Allsager Meats. There's some other sponsors there as well that were part of that event too. And we just thank all of them for doing what they did to help us out. And it was really fun for us. When Scott Hannon and I talked about this idea, I kind of brought it to Scotty, and it came up somewhere a long time ago. Like, wouldn't it be fun to give away like a bunch of free groceries? Everybody can use that. We did not too long ago over on WDAY. We gave away a trip to go see the Eagles in Vegas at the Sphere. And at that time, I thought that was probably about the coolest prize we did. We did a Super Bowl ticket giveaway one time when it looked like the Vikings. Remember that year when it looked like the Vikings might make the Super Bowl? It was them. They had a really good team, and I think they were going to Philly for the NFC Championship game. And we're like, okay, well, we're either going to get the Vikings or Carson Wentz coming to Minneapolis for Super Bowl. So we gave away two Super Bowl tickets. They're about $6,000 apiece. So we had fun doing that one. That was a big one. But Eagles and then this one here, super fun. And when I brought it to Scotty and we started talking about this thing and with our management team, it just seemed like the right idea because, look, everybody is struggling to make ends meet. The cost of everything, even though the pace of inflation has slowed down, inflation has not gone away. Things are still getting more expensive. And we had that big jump thanks Joe Biden, after COVID, 2022, almost a 10% increase in everything. And things really haven't gone back down. So, yeah, the pace of inflation has slowed down yet, but we're still dealing with elevated prices compared to what we have known before. So it was a really, really fun night, and I cannot wait to see just kind of what a difference that can make in the Pollard family from West Fargo. So I was glad a guy named Steve won it. He did not follow the script, however, because I asked him, if are you a DAY or a Flag listener? And he said, DAY. I'm like, oh, okay, that's all right. And I thought, well, I might as well ask what his favorite show is over there. Of course, it's the Jay Thomas show that's on at the same time this show is on. So I don't know. We still let Steve win, and we're actually super happy about that. And his wife, Chelsea, she's expecting a baby. She's supposed to deliver today, they're saying. So really a great event, great night. Thanks to everybody for coming out. It was a ton of fun. All right, so we're going to probably do a few things a little different today on Need to Know Morning Show. What's the over-under, by the way, JT, on the number of times I call this the Steve Halsham Show today?
Oh, well, you already said Jay was on right now, so he's usually on.
Oh, did I? See, so there we go. You get behind the microphone, it just feels like whatever. He's at the same time that I'm usually on. Five? Yeah, I think I'll go under on that, but it'll at least be a couple here. But we are going to bring you what you have come to expect here on the Need to Know Morning Show, and that is some good, honest conversation about a lot of things that really matter. And so I'm going to bring you a number of different stories. Lots happened over the last 24 hours. Lots happened overnight as well. We've got, you know, the news, the weather, the sports, all the normal people that jump in to help you out. We're going to do all those things here today on the program. 701-271-1100 is the phone number here. studio@flagfamily.com is the email address. And if you want to text me, you can absolutely do that at 701-237-1590. We had a really good conversation yesterday on my show toward the end of the program about the new IRS ruling that allows basically pastors from the pulpit to advocate for certain political candidates. And when I saw this happen, my heart jumped. I said, yes, good. We can, people can endorse candidates from the pulpit. And if a pastor wants to say, go Trump, go, or vote for Kelly Armstrong, or Tim Mahoney is the guy, or whatever, they can do that. And that's kind of good. And then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, but do I really want that? And I came up with the answer of no. I don't want my pastor to talk about what political candidate they want us to vote for from the pulpit. And I was outvoted on my show yesterday a little bit on that. It was probably five that said they liked it, and there was maybe two other people that said, I don't like it. Like, the only person that should be kind of glorified from the pulpit is Jesus. And I'm like, you know, that's better than the answer I came up with. I just kind of said, I don't know. I don't love that idea of a pastor saying, vote for somebody. It's kind of like when I watch a ball game or see a movie, watch an awards show. I don't know. There are certain parts where I just want to put all the political stuff aside. Not the issues now. The issues are absolutely fine. But the candidate, vote for this guy, vote for that woman, don't vote for that guy or that woman. I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to me. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one today at 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. So let me know what you think about that. And I've got a bunch of other interesting, hopefully probing questions for you today and interesting conversations. Maria Bartiromo had the Ag Secretary, Brooke Rollins, farm girl herself, so we know that we can trust her. And she was great yesterday. So we're going to play a little bit of that, talking about, will there be amnesty on the farm? Boy, I'm glad there wasn't last night in that raid they had on the weed farm in California. Did you hear what they found? They detained like dozens of people. But did you hear what else they found on that farm when they did their raid? If you've not heard that, I'll tell you that coming up here in a little bit. We're going to head on over to the Skywatch Weather Center. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here this morning. Dino, good morning to you, my man. How are you?
Good morning. It's the early morning for you, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, every once in a while you do these things. I love it, though. I really do. And it's kind of getting back to my roots. This was the first show I ever did here at this company. So, yeah, it's nice. I kind of wish now today that I was done at 4 o'clock, which I'm not. Right. But so you get a double shot of Steve today, whether you like it or not. But, we appreciate you being up early, too, and giving us the first look of the day. It's a summer day, Dino.
It is. It is. No doubt about it. We've got a lot of sunshine to start off the morning, but, yeah, there's always a but. We'll see clouds increase as a cold front approaches, and that's going to trigger off some showers as we head into the afternoon. So if you have a morning, early morning tea time, you're good to go. The afternoon, though, you still might be able to squeak it in, but we'll be dealing with a few scattered showers and thunder showers. Highs today in the low 80s with winds switching from the southeast to the northwest at about 10 to 25. There is a air quality alert east of the valley too into Minnesota as more Canadian smoke is going to be pouring down into the area. That will start tonight under mostly cloudy skies. We'll have northwest winds 10 to 15 and lows in the upper 50s. And then Saturday, a little smoky around the area, and we'll have northwest winds 10 to 20, so filtered sunshine with highs in the upper 70s. That smoke lifts north on Sunday, and it's going to be a very summer-like day on Sunday with highs in the low, or I should say upper 80s, and then low 90s on Monday, and then much cooler weather. We've got 40s in the forecast for later next week. Not for highs.
Okay.
Not for highs. Okay. We don't want to jump the gun just yet. No. But a little taste of early fall next week, but before we warm right back up by the following weekend. Also, Steve, want to give a big shout-out. I'm sure you have already, but I ran into so many great people Our listeners are absolutely fantastic, and sitting down and talking with quite a few of them yesterday. And I'll tell you what, they love the LRC, they love our programming, and we have some of the best listeners out there, without a doubt.
You know, it's fun in this business. They tell you when you get into this line of work that you have to build a tribe, which is basically you try to just have a connection with your audience and the people that listen to you. And there's a lot of ways you can do that in our business. But having these get-togethers, the parties that we do, watch parties for elections and just different things, giveaway parties like this, when we did the Eagles trip, that kind of thing, it really does bond you with the people that listen to you. And it helps, because when you're doing this job, you open up the microphone, you push the on button on the mic, and you start thinking about, okay, you know, Jim might be listening, and now you put a face to Jim because you met him there, and it kind of feels like you're talking to one person instead of a thousand or a million or however many are listening at that time. So it is really a lot of fun. Hey, Dino, before I let you go, I got to tell you, props to you for the job that you do, because weather is not always done as well in other places. Last weekend, we were in the Twin Cities, and we were going to go to a Twins game on Saturday afternoon. So I look on the weather app, right, that tells you wherever you're at to see what the weather. They say that, so the game was supposed to start at 1. They say 2 o'clock, like at 1 o'clock, they say showers. 2 o'clock, 100% chance of heavy thunderstorms.
Okay.
100% chance of I'm like, guys, we're not buying tickets for that game. I'm sorry. And that was like for 2 hours. It was supposed to be 100% chance of heavy thunderstorms. Do you suppose it even rained on Saturday afternoon during the Twins game?
Not at all.
It did not. There was a few sprinkles. Honestly, there was a few sprinkles for about 10 minutes, because I talked to a guy at the Mall of America later on that day. He had his Twins jersey on and said, hey, did you go to the game, by the way? He goes, yeah, it was great. The weather looked like it might suck, but it was fantastic, and the Twins came from behind and won it in the bottom of the ninth. I'm going, dang it, the weather app people. So you can't trust the weather apps. You got to listen to Dino. You're out of luck if you go out of town, though. I learned that.
You should have just called me. I could have let you know.
I probably should. I don't know. I like to let you have at least 10 minutes off a week where you're not taking calls, because I know you get calls from people all the time. Like, hey, I'm going here, I'm going there. So, no, credit to you. It's always awesome to hear your good work and keeping us up to date on all that stuff.
Awesome.
So, when I get you next time, we've got a big outdoor concert planned for Grand Rapids next Saturday night. So I'm going to have you give me a little forecast for Grand Rapids, Minnesota next Saturday night. Let me know what you're thinking about that one. So we'll catch up with you on that one next time around. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Steve.
Okay, brother. Thanks so much. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki in the Skywatch Weather Center. 6:25 here on the Need to Know Morning Show. See, I got one right. There we go. We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, I think we're going to talk a little sports with our guy James McCarty. If not, I can talk sports. I used to do that for a living, you know. So much more of the Need to Know Morning Show. Steve Alstrom sitting in for Alex and Kevin coming up next here on AM 1100 The Flag. All right, brother. Hey, let's talk a little sports. James is here, our sports director. Boy, I could talk to you a little bit more than a couple of seconds about NBA Summer League. Maybe we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour.
But the Wolves got a 98-91 victory.
Joan Berenger made his debut, and I guess he started swatting left and right off the bench.
Yeah, he had 6 blocks, man, and 23 minutes of action. So that was awesome to see. You had 20 points apiece from Rob Dillingham had 15. You had Terrence Shannon Jr. with 20 points, along with 20 points from Leonard Miller. That was the guy I was looking for. So, yep, the Wolves will continue Summer League Saturday night at 9:30 on NBA TV. They'll take on the Denver Nuggets.
Did you see any Cooper Flagg? He made his debut last night,
I did not
too.
See any of it. No, I didn't have a chance to, but I'm excited to watch the highlights for it here in the next couple of hours. Twins will look to try and sweep the Chicago Cubs yesterday. They fall 8-1, though. Chris Paddock gave up 6 runs over 5 innings. The Twins now, their final series before the All-Star break, they host the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it's going to be a battle of stars tonight. Joe Ryan, the Twins All-Star pitcher, will take on Paul Skeens, actually.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be tremendous. 7-10 is first pitch tonight at Target Field, and the artist Nelly will be performing a concert after the game.
Now, you know that I refer to Paul Skeens as a Mr. Olivia Dunn, by the way. I don't know if you know
Olivia Dunn, she is trying to
You're laughing so you know who Libby Dunn is, yeah?
She was trying to get keys to Babe Ruth's old apartment in New York. Oh. And the people that live in the building voted her out, said, no, they don't want her
there.
Are
you kidding me?
So I don't know if it was because of an influencer thing, if it was because of a spite thing, because Paul Fitch isn't. But, yeah, weird thing. Weird thing. But
yeah, she must be a Republican or something.
It could be something along those lines.
Like that. Okay.
And the Red Hawks, their series rubber match against the Railcats yesterday afternoon, they were walked off 2-1 in 10 innings. So they return home, though, for a series against the Sioux Falls Canaries. That begins tonight at 7:02. Friday night home game, that means fireworks. So
that means fireworks.
That should be exciting for all. And the Lynx powered past the Sparks 91-82 last night. They were up 28-14 in the second quarter. That was what powered them by. They're 18-3 now. They take on the Chicago Sky Saturday afternoon at noon on ABC.
Okay. When we talk next time, let's talk about Tom Hoagie, too. I think he was off last week. I actually saw him at Fargo Country Club.
Oh, really?
He was playing with some guys that
he's
I know.
He's currently 2-over right now.
Is he
and
2?
The projected cut line is 1-under.
Okay, so he's
right
got to hustle a little bit. So
yep.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thanks, James.
Thank
James
you.
McCarty. Our sports director, I call him Biggie, the notorious B.I.G., just because, Big Game James, and then Biggie, and then notorious B.I.G. James has more nicknames probably than anybody in the building, but that's because we love him. Okay, 6:32 here, time for us to get a check of local news headlines, so we're going to kick it over to the news center for a look at some of the stories that people are talking about here this morning. Take it away, gents. This week, it means that they're going to stay over there for the Open next week. So I just thought I'd take a look because sometimes they're playing now, and indeed they are. Not going great for our guy this week over there. He looks like he's 1-under for the day, but he's still +1 for the tournament, and he's played 15 holes already. So he's got to get the cut line is -1, the projected cut line -1. So you really want to be at 2 or 3 under if you can, but he's kind of running out of holes for that. And it might not happen for a Tommy here this week. So tied for 96th right now, and he's going to need some magic here over the final couple of holes to be able to make it happen. He started off the day, bogeyed his first two holes, and then a birdie, bogey, birdie. Man, there's a lot of geometry on this car today. Then bogeyed 7, so he was 2-over after the first 9. Then he birdied 10 and 11, but since then it's been like 4 straight pars. So he's playing a par 5 right now, so hopefully he can get one there. We'll continue to keep an eye on that, but it's going to be an uphill climb for our guy here this week. All right, 6:39, Need to Know Morning Show. Steve in for Alex and Kevin from the text line this morning. You, by the way, can get in touch with us a number of different ways. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. Give me a call. Love to hear what's on your mind. If you got a comment on some of the stories we're talking about or something you'd like to hear more conversation on, maybe there's a part of Big Beautiful Bill that you haven't heard as much about that you'd like to know more about. I might know it. But I certainly can research it fairly quickly for you, too. So if there's something you're looking for, information, perspective, whatever, I'll do my best. And I know how to call people, too, get people on the show if we need to. So let me know, 271-1100, what's rolling through your mind here this morning? Would love to hear from you. But from the text line, Steve, good morning. Nice to have you in the AM today. I agree. I don't want my pastor endorsing a candidate from the pulpit. However, I don't want the IRS penalizing a church for a pastor saying something that could be interpreted as an endorsement. Cheryl sends that text in. Cheryl, I'm right there with you on that. And I had a number of people yesterday on my show that said some version of that exact thing. Like, okay, it's not my style. It's probably not what I want to have happen. But if my pastor does want to say something, I don't want the government to be able to come in there and say, hey, can't say that, you're in jail or whatever. Now, it gets tricky for me on this issue because there are so many different principles that you could rely on. So what I try to do is I try to say, okay, what is the principle that we're talking about here? And how does that compare to what The Bible says I'm a good book guy, so I kind of go back to Scripture. What does Scripture say about it? And then what does the conservative playbook say about it? And try to measure it against those two things. So this one's tricky because you've got freedom of speech, you've got freedom of religion, you also have tax laws, right? This is why it's tricky for me. That, you know, we know that that there are many churches that have, especially one of our callers yesterday said, how about the Democrats in the big cities? They load up their people from church and take them to go vote. Like the black churches, many of them, and I guess I don't know how statistically. Are we talking about, you know, 1%, 2%, 50%? That I don't know. But it happens, right? And you hear about it that we're going to go to the polling station right after church today or after the Wednesday night meeting or Wednesday Bible study, wherever. We're going to all go vote. And you know darn well that they're being encouraged to vote for Democrat candidates. So we know that it has happened where churches have gotten political before. I get that. But if you have a favored tax treatment by the government where you, any revenue that comes in, you have to report as income, it's not taxed, or because you're a nonprofit or whatever, if you're getting benefit in the tax world, which basically means that it affects me and you and everybody that we know, because all those things affect what we have to pay because the government has to get enough tax money from all of us to pay for all these things. Well, then I kind of want politics to stay out of it, and I don't really want there to be politics in it either. So there's a lot in this one for me. At the end of the day, I just come down to it's a style thing for me. And I say in my mind, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean that you should. And in this case, I kind of feel like that's how I like how I would like to see church. Our church does it that way. They are apolitical. Now, I happen to know that there are many people in church leadership that lean a certain way, and there are people that lean the other way, too. I know that we have people who are a little on the liberal side, people that are definitely on the conservative side. But you know what? We go to church and I sit next to them, and even though I know kind of where they stand on some politics, I love those brothers and sisters. And that's kind of nice that we just can have church without worrying about politics. Maybe it's because in my world, and obviously doing what I do for a living, there's politics and candidates and he's good and she's bad. There's so dang much of that, that it's just kind of nice to have a break from that. Now, last thing I'll say on this is do not confuse my preference of not having a candidate pick or a pastor pick a candidate from issues. I want our pastor to talk about issues because a lot of times the issues that we see in our society are these are huge things that we're dealing with as people trying to make sense of it. And I want my pastor to say, this news story that's happening, what does the Bible say about this? Okay, let's go back to the good book and here are the principles and here's why this works. And I'm glad when a candidate or when a pastor says, vote for pro-life candidates, right? Ones that respect marriage, man and a woman, all that. I love all of that. It's just, if I heard my pastor get up and say, go Trump, go, even though that's kind of how I feel like in my political leanings, isn't that weird? I don't want to hear that at church on Sunday morning. Isn't that weird? Maybe it's just me. I know it's not just me because other people have said the same thing. Let's go to Adele. Adele has given us a call here this morning at 271-1100. Adele, good morning. Thank you for keeping me company here today. How are you this fine Friday morning?
I'm okay. The reason I called is on Steve's show yesterday, he had something he was going to say that happened, something that was a little bit creepy or unusual because of the business that he said he was in. Anyway, I was looking forward to hearing that, and I don't sleep so well, so I dozed off just before he said it. So I was wondering if he would mind repeating whatever it was he said.
Sure. Well, Adele, you're talking to Steve right now, so it's nice to meet you. Thank you for listening to the Need to Know Morning Show, and thank you for listening to my show yesterday. Yes, I snuck it in really quick because it got a little tight with time, and we had people that called and had really good conversations going. But what I was talking about there is that in our business, every once in a while you get one of those goosebump kind of moments that happens, And we had one of those that happened yesterday. It actually didn't happen on my show or even on this station. It happened on WDAY radio, where Ronnie and Janae were the ones who were doing the program there. And they had Jesse Johnner on, Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. He was talking about these drug parties that people are having where, like, everybody's doing drugs, but one person is the sober one who's got the Narcan to bring everybody back if they're, you know, teetering off the ledge of overdosing, which is horribly creepy in itself. But then after Jesse was talking about that, there was a gentleman that called in. His name was Justin, and he talked about moving back to Fargo. He is originally from here. He left Fargo, moved to Minneapolis, and had lived in Fargo basically his whole life, goes to Minneapolis, and he and his girlfriend, while they were there, got hooked on fentanyl. So he told them during the show, he said, you know what? When I was in Minneapolis, like, the fentanyl, it was all over. Like, it was in your face all the time, and like, it seemed like everybody we knew was doing it. And so he said, my girlfriend decided to move back to Fargo, because in Fargo, we just knew that, yeah, there's stuff here, but it's not as prevalent. It's not as easy. So it would be easier for us as addicted people to live in Fargo where we didn't have to deal with this all the time. And so he said, thank you, Sheriff Johnner, because you guys and your law enforcement has helped create an environment where the drugs aren't so prevalent. And he said, my girlfriend and I are now 90 days clean and sober, and they've moved back, and they've turned over a new leaf. And it was just the most unbelievable thing. I got a lump in my throat when I heard this story, and it was such a wonderful moment. And it's not often that you get those moments in your workday, but we got that here yesterday, and I just wanted to let everybody know about that. And now I got to let everybody know about that here in the morning show, too. So, Adele, that's what we were talking about. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah, thank you very much for repeating it.
Of course. Well, thank you for listening and for being a loyal listener to our station, both in the afternoon and the morning. I'll be back today from 4 to 6. We'll have all kinds of interesting things to talk about. So hope you'll be able to catch us then. Adele, thanks for calling. You have a great day, okay?
Yes, thank you. Bye.
All right, take care. All right, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. If you want to weigh in on the pastors from the pulpit issue, you can certainly do that. If there's something else that you want to talk about, we can certainly talk about that also. And so thanks to Adele for giving a call. But yeah, what a wonderful story. I was going to talk about that anyway here this morning, about that. What an interesting interview. And that's why I love talk radio. And that's why a lot of people say, oh, talk radio, radio is going to die. Well, they've been saying this now for 40, 50 years. But when you've got interesting conversations and Sheriff Johnner telling you about these drug parties, you're like, holy smokes, I have no idea. I guess you kind of could imagine, right? I mean, the way the world is. But to hear Jesse just say, yeah, well, this is what happens or whatever. And then you hear some guy, like, out of nowhere, completely unprompted, unscripted, just calls and says, hey, here's my story. And you're just sitting there like, oh, this is such a good story. And, like, these things happen all the time in the talk radio business. Absolutely love that. All right, 6:49 here on the almost did it on the Need to Know Morning Show. Okay, we'll put that as one, JT. One, you said it was five, so we got one. But we're going to come back, and I want to talk about the ICE raid at the weed farm in northwest of LA yesterday, and the unbelievable find that they made when they busted this ICE farm, and why some media outlets are calling terrorist protesters, and how we need to be very careful about those words. So we'll do that and more. Phone lines open, 701-271-1100. Love to hear from you this morning. What's on your mind? What you want to talk about? Something you want to hear more perspective or commentary on? Be glad to do that as well. We'll be back with more on the Need to Know Morning Show right after this. Oh, you know that chime. That means it's time. Hey, that actually sounded pretty good. It's time to check in with our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki. Dino, how about that? I'm still sort of waking up today, but That was a pretty good little transition out of the commercial break there.
When you're not used to these early morning hours, Steve, that wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I'll take that. Any brilliance that we stumble into today, we're going to take it. So,
no doubt.
Speaking of brilliance, how about this morning? What a gorgeous summer morning.
Gorgeous. Yeah, gorgeous start to the morning with temperatures hugging 70 degrees, 70 to the low 70s this morning. Don't let it fool you. If you look out to the west and northwest, you'll see clouds.
Oh, yeah.
And, an advance of a cold front that's going to be sweeping through the area. So the morning hours will be dry, but we'll see scattered showers develop as we head into the afternoon. We'll make it up into the low 80s, and then we'll see temperatures slide off later this afternoon into the 70s as winds turn to the northwest at about 10 to 25. Mainly cloudy most of the night tonight, but we'll see some clearing towards sunrise with lows in the mid to upper 50s and northwest winds 10 to 15. And Saturday looks sunny, but we're going to have that smoke pouring in from Canada, so it'll be filtered sunshine tomorrow with northwest winds 10 to 20, highs in the upper 70s. Sunday looks very summer-like with highs in the upper 80s, then low 90s on Monday. Another cold front swings through Monday night into Tuesday, giving us another round of showers and storms. And then 70s remain in the forecast for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Nice, pleasant, cool air mass coming in from Canada. We'll be able to open up the windows, barring we don't have too much Canadian smoke. We'll give those air conditioners a rest. And then, Steve, you were asking about the following weekend.
Yes.
In Grand Rapids. And it looks like next weekend we turn much, much warmer. Highs in the 80s and 90s across the area, and it looks mainly dry.
Okay.
Now it will be a little bit on the breezy to windy side up in Grand Rapids. It's outdoor concert, I'm assuming.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, we got Molly Hatchet, April Wine, and Warrant coming up for a night of classic rock up there.
I got to be out of town, too. Son of a gun. Yeah, that's going to be a good show, and weather looks like it'll cooperate. It'll be very, very summer-like.
Well, and if it's going to be those kind of temps, we'll be thankful for the breeze, I think. I don't think, unless we're talking about 40-mile-an-hour straight-line winds. And
yeah, it doesn't look that bad, but 15 to 30 looks like a good bet.
Okay, well, there's enough. We're kind of in an area off of downtown where there's some bigger buildings, so I think we'll be okay. So I appreciate the update, my man. Thanks again,
Dino.
All right, Dean Wysocki, the one and only, the best in the business, you ask me. And you catch him here every day throughout the course of the day. All right, 6:56 here. Need to know morning show. I do want to talk a little bit about the ICE bust yesterday in L.A. So ICE, of course, goes to this cannabis farm northwest of L.A., Ventura County, not far from Los Angeles there. And they detain dozens of people that they had reason to believe were there illegally, may or may not have been causing a lot of trouble, but they saw the opportunity, took it, and did a big bust. And, of course, you have people turning out that I don't know if, like, the Soros machinery is good enough where they can just, like, mobilize their Antifa people at the drop of a hat to go, hey, I need you to drop what you're doing, get in the car and drive up to this weed farm and start harassing ICE officials who are. But that's what happened. There weren't a lot, but there were a handful of people that were there. Some were throwing rocks at the ICE vehicles. There was one guy who pointed a gun. We don't know that it was fired, but that's certainly a threat, right? I mean, you can be charged with assault for just pulling a gun on somebody if you've never fired. So you get all this stuff going on there. Gavin Newsom chimes in, says this is inhumane. There's a real cost to these inhumane immigration actions on hardworking families and communities, including farms across America. And this is just Donald Trump trying to, you know, pick on the black and the brown people with chaos and fear and terror in our communities. And, of course, all the, you know, liberal media, oh, yeah, but Trump is doing this. Things are terrible what they're doing. And social media goes nuts, which you can't pay attention to social media. There's a lot of wackos on social media. But what did we find? In addition to, we still don't really know a lot about the individuals who were apprehended there and why. But, I don't know. I just, weed farm, illegals, sanctuary city. To me, it just feels like there was probably a little bit of trouble there. Well, sure enough, we find out later that there was more to the story. There were, according to Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Rodney Scott, 10 undocumented minors at the farm. 8 of them unaccompanied. Okay? Now, I'm reading this out of the website KTLA.com, one of the big news stations in L.A. Let me translate that to what that really means. Because when you hear these words thrown in newsprint, it's like undocumented, okay, unaccompanied, whatever. Let me tell you what that means. There were 10 children, undocumented children, at the farm. They say minors, but these are kids, right? They probably all, weren't all 17 or 18. Okay, there's a very, it's certainly very possible, maybe even likely, that you had young kids there. Maybe they were working, maybe they weren't, but eight of them were unaccompanied, which means, you know what? They weren't with a family member at the farm. I guess two of them were, but eight of them were just kids. Who knows how they got there? Who knows what has happened to them along the way? Who knows what was happening to them once they stopped doing the work on the farm that night? Now, I'm not going to say every child there was sexually accosted, but it certainly leaves the opportunity open. This is the human trafficking and the child human trafficking and the child smuggling we're talking about here. And Gavin Newsom is out there barking about what a horrible injustice been done. This is why we voted for Donald Trump. Go, Trump, go. All right, coming up on 7 o'clock here, this is WZFG Dilworth, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, USA. The time is 7 o'clock. 4 to 6, hope you'll be able to join me then. It'll be a completely different show because between now and 4 o'clock, there will be all kinds of new stuff to talk about. There always is. That's a wonderful thing about talk radio. So thank you, friends, for hanging out with me here for a little bit while we give Alex and Kevin the day off. JT Thaden, our operations manager, sitting in with me here today. JT, thanks to you too, brother, for being here and
happy
doing what
here.
You do. JT's like just got a smile on his face all the time. He probably cusses at me every once in a while, but under his breath when like something happens and he's got to do something at dark 30 or whatever. But he always at least publicly puts on a pleasant face, and so I appreciate that.
I'll give you my wife's phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
She can tell you the truth.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of that. Thanks to some kind words coming in on the text line, too. Steve, so good to hear you and your commentary in the morning. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Like I always say, I sometimes talk like I know what I'm always talking about and I'm so sure of things. I'm a lot of times trying to sort out stuff as we go, but there are some things that when I see them, I just exactly know what I feel about it. And sometimes I get a little ranty about that. I did that this morning just a little while ago here with the commentary about Gavin Newsom spouting off about the ICE raids. Like, how dare they do that? And then we find out there's like eight undocumented and unaccompanied children, illegal children at this weed farm in California. I'm like, what unspeakable things have been done to those kids already? So maybe Gavin Newsom should wait to see what the real story is and what they find before he rips the whole process. Because I'm pretty sure every other individual, reasonable individual in the country is saying, well, thank God they busted that weed farm. Got eight undocumented, unaccompanied children that were at that place. Who knows what has been done to them? So yeah, once in a while, I like to throw a little commentary in there. It is Friday, July 11th, 2025, and before we welcome in our good friend Bridget Riedel, our ag director, here today, I want to say happy birthday to the prettiest girl in the world. Sorry, Bridget. Bridget, be the second. But I am married to a young lady who has a birthday today. She turns 29 today. And she is my best friend and is kind of like the woman who keeps me grounded and cheers me up. She's my biggest fan, and it is her birthday today. And so to the lovely Tracy, she might be listening. She's up fairly early. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. She is up early taking care of, well, me mostly. When the kids were home, of course, she did that. But she's an early riser, goes to bed fairly late. And in between, loves and serves a million people, and I am lucky enough to be one of them. So happy birthday, babe. And I told her that we are going to go out for supper tonight, and I have a present for her. I'm excited I would tell all of you now, but the chances are that somebody knows my wife and might spill the beans. So we don't want to do that here. So, all right. So happy birthday, Tracy. 7-Eleven here on the Need to Know Morning Show, sitting in for Alex and Kevin today. Good to be with you. And my friend Bridget, good to be with you. How are you today?
Fantastic. And happy birthday, Tracy. With any luck, you baked her cookies like she always does for you.
I know better than to try to bake her cookies because she's eaten her own cookies and they're way better than I could do. So, no, we go out for a nice meal that she may not want to prepare on her own. And I try to stay away from challenging her prowess in the kitchen, that is for sure. Speaking of great cooks and bakers, I'm talking to one of them right now. When Bridget brings stuff into the studio, oh my gosh, it's like I don't know what it's like. It's like bees going after honey because, oh, Bridget came and baked some rhubarb bread like last summer one time. Oh my gosh, it brought me back to my childhood. My mom used to bake rhubarb bread. Did your mom teach you how to bake and cook, or did you just pick it up along the way?
Oh, yeah. Mom, grandmas. And I was going to warn you that zucchini season is nearly upon us. So the zucchini chocolate cake's about starting to make its appearances, folks. So everybody hang on. Pour an extra glass of milk for that.
Oh, boy. Now, the first time I heard that you were bringing in zucchini chocolate chip bread or whatever it is, I'm like, that sounds like the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. And then I ate it, and I'm like, oh, this is crack. Like, give it. The first one's free. The next one's $100, and you'll pay it.
Yes, yes, you will. You will keep up with that. And the frosting makes it so.
Oh,
if this goes like last Friday did on Bonnie Amistadi's show, when I mentioned that I have a recipe for s'more bars, so instead of making individual s'mores, you can make a sheet pan full of them. Let me know when people want that recipe, because I was posting it all last Friday.
My gosh. Yes, well, we want the recipe, but we want the real thing.
That's right.
We'll take it all. Bridget, we love talking with you, and I'm a farm kid, and so I love it when you come on. Whenever you're on one of our shows on either station I'm listening, I lean in because I love hearing what you have to say. So there's a lot going on, I know, every single day in the farm community. Let us know some of the things you've been following.
Fridays are always about positivity and ending the week on a great note. And one of the ways that we can do that is promoting the fact that North Dakota beef producers are saluting our active military, as well as Reserve and National Guard members and their families for the 20th annual Beef Industry Military Appreciation Day during the North Dakota State Fair in Minot on July 22nd. So that is roughly 10 days from now. The event is hosted by the Beef Commission, Stockman's Association, North Dakota Cattle Women. It's a free roast beef picnic, children's activities, and the meal will be served from 11 to 1 or until the food is gone. Because we know that so many of our military members come from farm families, roughly 60%. We want to make sure to say a giant thank you. And Minot's the right place to do it. We have an Air Force base there. It'll be the state fair, and our producers are happily showing up to make sure that folks get a big chunk of beef. It is an excellent source of 10 essential vitamins and nutrients, zinc, iron, and protein, and supports that active lifestyle that many people are looking to have right now.
And tell me you don't feel like a king or a queen when you're eating a nice cut of beef. You just do.
It just fills
you up. Generally low calorie, high protein, really good stuff there. Yeah, I'm actually having Julie Ellingson on my show today, the North Dakota Stockman's Association. And we're going to talk about, you know, like I said, I'm a farm kid. I'm curious about all these things. So the new bill that went through, the new spending bill in D.C., what does that mean to cattle ranchers and producers here in the state? And then this screwworm thing that has turned into a big deal at the southern border now. Brooke Rollins, the ag secretary, says we're not taking any beef now coming up through Mexico because of this. So there's a lot going on there in the cattle world. So lots to talk about.
USDA. Well, first of all, let me back up. Having Julie on today will be excellent. She is just returning from National Cattlemen's Summer Meeting that was in San Diego the last few days. And so she'll have a great insight into that. USDA had a plan to reopen the Mexican border. It had closed in May, not allowing live cattle imports into the country. And they were doing that in order to avoid the possibility of the new world screwworm fly or a larvae coming across the border and infecting healthy herds here in the U.S. After multiple weeks of no activity, the border was set to reopen in one spot with a slow release opening starting Monday, July 7th. But as of Wednesday, that changed because screwworm was detected closer to the U.S. border and we shut that down. So what's the screwworm? Parasitic fly that burrows into the whatever opening on the hide of the animal that it can. So even if it's a vaccination site, it will burrow in, lay eggs. The females generally lay about 300 eggs. When those larvae hatch, they, unlike most flies, which would go after dead or necrotic tissue, they go after the healthy tissue. How do you know that you have screwworm in your herd? You literally will see things, pieces of hide, a part of a jaw, something falling off the animal, unless you can detect the movement of the larvae under the hide. This is information after having talked with veterinarians on a national level who are watching this very closely. One of the ways in which to try to stop the screwworm from moving northward, because it was detected down in Central America, was to have a sterile fly production facility. And so sterile male flies were being produced and flown out into the areas where the livestock was were being raised, dropped, then the male sterile flies could mate with the females, but of course the eggs would be non-viable. So that's what they're trying to do. One of the things that had to happen was, weirdly, the cartels in Mexico control a lot of the herd, and they didn't like planes flying overhead. In fact, they tended to shoot at them. So some arrangements had to be made in order to try to move sterile flies into the right spots. So New World screwworm has scared ranchers along the U.S.-Mexican border because they've been through this before. It's been decades, but nobody wants it back. Those memories are still alive and well in the situation that could happen. Wow. So Julie's going to have a great conversation with you today. I think she and I have known each other since we were about 14, and she brings a wealth of knowledge and also what happens politically within this state. She will talk very well and just be such a great addition to your show today.
Well, this is what a pro Bridget is. She didn't know that I was going to just mention screwworm, and then she gives you a college class on the whole thing here in the last 5 minutes. So that's who we have here with Bridget. So you're Oz. Julie's going to be great.
Yes.
But boy, do we get a great appetizer from you. So thanks a ton for that. Anything else on your list of things you want to hit with us today?
Just if we're talking about cattle, let's not forget that Monday, July 14th, North Dakota State University's Grasslands Research Station at Streeter is hosting two different tours. Their morning tour is going to focus on experiments using livestock and for livestock with winter cereals in a corn-soybean rotation. We're looking at soil health, livestock performance, production economics. We're going to talk soybeans as pollinators, strip trials with grazing cover crops. The afternoon, we're going to talk about perennial forage crops and also a demonstration of soil health in action, much more. And the afternoon is going to be a free-of-charge brisket lunch done by NDSU's Carnivore Catering at noon. So that's out at Streeter. That's on Monday. Swing on in if you have an interest in cattle, soil health, and all of the grazing practices that go along with it.
Very good. Bridget, thanks as always for the great work that you do for us here on the flag, WDAY, and everywhere that we touch here at the company. So thanks for being with us today, and have a great Friday. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com.
The one and only Bridget Riedel joining us here on the Need to Know Morning Show. There, another repetition of the Need to Know Morning Show that I didn't screw up. Thank you, Bridget. Have a great day. 7:19 here on the Need to Know Morning Show. We keep trying to nail that down here. Okay, 7:20 here. Let's get in a break, JT. We got Dino coming up here just in a couple of minutes. We'll get a check of the weather. But I know we got to get one of these little commercial sneaks in here, so let's do that. When we come back, we'll check in with Dean. He's got the weekend forecast. You're going to want to know this because it could get a little interesting later today. That and more as we continue on the Need to Know Morning Show. Steven for Kevin and Alex. Be right back. 7:23 here on the Need to Know Morning Show. Steven for Kevin and Alex today. We are now headed down to the Skywatch Weather Center where Chief Meteorologist Dean Wiasaki hangs out this time of day, giving us an update on what things are looking like for the weekend. Dean, it's a very summery start to the day. We understand that weather could get a little more interesting, though, as the day goes on.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we've got some showers and thundershowers west of a Jamestown Devil's Lake line. Those are moving northeast. So those will affect the northern valley as we head into the lunchtime hour. But other than that, we'll have to wait until more showers develop to our south and west later this afternoon for the FM area. So we'll start off with a decent start to the day. It's muggy out, though. Dew points are in the upper 60s. We'll make it up into the low 80s before that cool front arrives shortly after lunchtime, and that will trigger off some afternoon showers and thunder showers as winds turn to the northwest at 10 to 25. We'll see those temperatures slide off later this afternoon into the 70s. And then tonight, showers come to an end, mainly cloudy. We're looking at temps in the upper 50s for lows, northwest winds 10 to 15. And Saturday, we'll see a filtered sunshine. And the reason I say filtered is we're going to see quite a bit of Canadian smoke come in on Saturday from the valley eastward. The further west you go, the less problem the smoke will be. We'll have northwest winds at 10 to 20 and highs in the upper 70s. That smoke gets out of our area on Sunday, and we warm up to a more summer-like 89. And then we're in the low 90s on Monday. And then a cool front approaches Monday night into Tuesday. That'll trigger off showers and storms with highs dropping into the 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. And then after that, we embark on a quick warm-up as we head into the following weekend. The following weekend looks very summer-like with temps shooting back into the 80s and 90s across the area. So we're timing these nice summer weekends out a little better than we were last summer. It seemed like last summer the pick day was always Sunday, and we usually had rain on one of the weekend days. We've been pretty lucky so far this summer.
We have. Not 2025, by the way, is a summer where humidity came back to the upper Midwest. Last few summers, I'm out a lot because I run. I'm in marathon training this time of the year and have been the last few summers. And when I first started running marathons like 10 years ago, we had like a regular dose of humidity. And you'd get out even early in the morning before the sun was up sometimes. The air was just thick. And then we had like the last three, four summers, maybe even 5 years, just dry. It was a little on the cooler side and very dry. And now it seems like this year is the year that that humidity has returned. It seems like it's here all the time now.
Yeah, it has been, and it'll be interesting to see. I had some people come up to me at our get-together yesterday at Kingpin's asking, what does this winter look like? I said, well, we all know it's based on the LRC and other factors, but the LRC is a centerpiece of the puzzle. But we're getting early indications that La Nina is going to return this winter as well. And
is that the good one or the bad one?
That's the bad one.
Oh, okay.
That's the cold and snowy winter for us. Now, again, we'll have to wait and see how the LRC pattern sets up, but a lot of times when we get a La Nina winter, that usually means a colder than normal winter and usually snowier than normal.
Well, we've been spoiled last couple of winters.
Boy, so haven't we?
We can't say too much about it. All right, Dean. Hey, thanks, buddy. We'll check in with you again soon.
You bet.
The one and only Dean Wysocki. From the text line here, Jeff, who I believe is our friend from the Hockey Guys. Steve, since you said, Steve, you owe me a Hams beer. Now, this has to be Jeff Bradall then, the counselor. And we've been joking all morning, like, how many times am I going to say the Steve Hallstrom show instead of needing a morning show? So far, it's one. We've been doing pretty good. But, yeah, it's the new drinking game, I guess. If I say Steve Hallstrom show instead of need to know, you drink a beer. Now, if you're looking for excuses to drink a beer at 7:28 in the morning, I'm not saying we need a full-fledged intervention, but we may at least need an honest conversation. So I guess I'll leave it up to you what might be needed here. James McCarty, one of our other great team members here, our sports director, is in talking a little sports. James, we mentioned in our last chat with you, we briefly talked about Timberwolves Summer League. Mm-hmm. Jawan Berenger, the 18, what is he, 18 or 19?
18 years 18 old. Yeah, years he's old. Going on 19, yeah.
Yeah, he's like 7 feet tall, and they're saying that the kid is really gifted, but obviously really young. But he got his first action as a pro last night. How did it go for him?
He did indeed. Jawan Berenger, he ended up with 11 points, 8 rebounds, and it's controversial at this point.
Oh, controversy. I like
it. The Timberwolves said he had 7 blocks.
Yes.
The NBA said he had 6.
Oh.
Either way, a half a dozen blocks, that's fine. That's fine in my books.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes.
We're not talking about 1 assist to 0, 7 blocks to 6.
Somebody said that he had a couple of swats in like the first defensive series. Like he had 2 blocks on the first trip down the floor for the other team.
Like the first like 60 seconds, he had a pair of them. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. Nice. There's something to this. He's very raw at this point still. He picked up a basketball for the first time when he was 14 years old in 2021.
No kidding.
And he played professionally over in Europe last year, won a championship. And
well, 11 points, he can't be that raw.
Well, and some of it is a lot of teams don't have a ton of film on him quite yet.
Yeah.
You know, and you have younger guys that are working on specific things. And so it's very interesting to see. I'm curious to see where things go Saturday night against the Denver Summer League squad at 9:30 on NBA TV, because the Wolves, they needed actually an 11-point advantage in the second quarter to get the victory, 98-91.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Over the Pels.
And nobody cares who the score, what the score is.
It's more or less it's about the development, right?
Correct.
Guy, you know, Rob Dillingham had 15 points, and that was encouraging. Terrence Shannon Jr. really popped off in that final series against OKC in the Western Conference final. He had 20 points as well, along with Leonard Miller. And so you're trying to figure out the future of the Timberwolves, and it's been kind of fun. The summer league I find enjoyable because you're starting to recognize names from what is going on. As well, last night, looking at that Dallas matchup, Cooper Flagg ended up with 10 points on 5 of 21 shooting, but he had himself a steal, a block, a half a dozen rebounds, a couple of assists as well. So it was his first action against NBA talent. So,
okay, so let me tell you this now, James. I'm wondering, first of all, can he shoot free throws? Because he better be able to make them from the stripe or he'll get hacked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of two from the line, so you're like, oh, okay, one of two. He didn't miss both of them. But from the field, he was 5 of 6.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you're not going to ask him to step out and shoot the three, probably, but he's got to be able to score with the basketball. And, yes, I know it's just, you know, the rookies in the summer league or whatever. But 5 of 6 still against other guys playing pro ball. The guys that don't make the NBA are going to end up playing in Europe or somewhere professionally. So 5 of 6, what I think that's a really encouraging start. A couple of steals, as you said, 6, 7 blocks, whatever that is. Had a couple of fouls, but played 22 minutes. So it's not like they put him out there the whole game either. So
I don't know.
That's a pretty good box score, I think, for 22 minutes of play.
It gets me excited. And, of course, we'll find out once he gets up against the NBA-style talent or the regulars what his hands actually look like. You know, does he have that ball strength, that hand strength to hold onto the basketball when guys are trying to hack him, swat him, things of those? That's where Rudy Gobert has his issue, right? Mm. So when other guys get their hands and their extremities in there. So we'll find out tomorrow night at 9:30 on NBA TV, get a little more info on him. Twins, they dropped their series finale to the Chicago Cubs 8-1 yesterday. Chris Paddock had a tough time in the middle innings. Gave up 6 runs in total over 5 innings of work. So Twins fall now to 3 games under 500 at 45-48. They're still kind of hanging in the balance there, trying to fight for a wild card spot. They will have Joe Ryan on the mound tonight when Pittsburgh comes to town. Paul Skeens counters at 7:10.
Oh, that's going
to
be a fun one. If I lived any closer, I'd say, James, let's get in the car and head down and watch the Twins take on the Pirates.
I would have loved to. Paul Skeens was scheduled to start tomorrow afternoon, and the Pirates said, no, we got to do this right before the All-Star break. Yeah, they moved him up? Yeah,
wow.
I would imagine they had an off day to do that because you're not going to put them on 4 days rest. So they must have had an extra day to work with there. And the Red Hawks were walked off in their rubber match against the Railcats, 2-1 in 10 innings Thursday afternoon. Brendan Dadson, he drove in the only run for Fargo Moorhead. They return home this weekend. Some fun action at Newman Outdoor Field. They take on the Sioux Falls Canaries. Tonight is fireworks night. 7:02 is first pitch. Fireworks after the game wraps up. We're looking forward to that. And if you want some more Timberwolves talk, it's over on the other station, the sister station, WDAY Radio. But tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jay Stemmon and I will get y'all caught up on the happenings of Summer League and what we think about Berenguer, his first action in Summer League.
Yeah, speaking of Twins, at 45-48, they're now 13.5 games behind Detroit. This division might be over. Detroit's got a 13-game lead on KC. And like out of nowhere, like they were better last year, but nobody saw this coming. 24 games over.
Well, what was it a week ago on Sunday Night Baseball? I thought, oh, the Twins have a chance against Tarik Skubal, the reigning Cy Young winner.
No.
Yeah, after the first 3 batters, I went, yeah, that was stupid of me to think that out loud.
Detroit has the best record in the entire major leagues right now.
It's insane. They're scoring runs, they're playing well defensively, and that pitching staff is starting to come into its own. It's not just Tarik Skubal. They've got 3 legitimate starters, and that's scary for anybody, not just in the American League, but in all of baseball right now.
By the way, Tom Hoagie finished up round 2 over at the Genesis Scottish Open, and it didn't go well for him today. He is 1 over today, 2 over for the tournament. He's going to miss the cut. Looks like the projected cut's going to be -2, something like that. The leader is sitting at minus 11 right now. So Tom's had a kind of a struggle this year. It's just not been that kind of year. Started out strong, but boy, lately it's just been tough for him.
And that first month was really, really good.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you're hitting the roller coaster, but at the same point, you know, when you have a week or two off, you're trying to get back into the flow of things. I think the end of summer is when we should be looking for him to play better.
That's a good
domestically
thing.
As well, too, right?
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine getting on a plane.
Yes,
and
that's true.
Flying 8-9 hours and then trying to get in two or three practice rounds before a weekend in Scotland.
Different
so.
Kind of golf over
very
there.
Much so.
That links golf very good. So, all right, James, thanks, brother.
Thank
appreciate you,
you
buddy. James McCarty. And he is our sports director here. Always great to talk with him. What can I tell you? When I get a sports guy in, we get going a little bit. So 7:35, time now to hit a news update from the guys over in the news center. Take it away, boys. It was. I tell you, these hot, humid summer days, they're a little tough. Middle of the day, no doubt about that. But when the sun starts going down, man, it feels good, right? Just being outside on one of those warm, humid evenings when that heat starts to dial down, it just feels good to be outside. And apparently Kane Brown put on a great show. People were there's a lot of social media buzz today about people having a great time there. They had a great crowd, too, which I'm really happy about. They struggled with attendance for some of the shows last year, but they said it was almost a sellout yesterday as well. And Kane Brown, according to the concert review I'm seeing in the forum this morning, gave a big shout out to the nearly full grandstand and said, "I love you, North Dakota." And, you know, I guess, right, you know, part of that's just playing the game, but he wasn't selling any more tickets at that point. He was going to make whatever he was going to make. So I tend to think when people, you know, talk to you during the concert, that's pretty heartfelt. And so seems like he's had a good time. And he told people, "I was really excited when I heard I was coming back. It reminds me of where I grew up." So very cool. So mixed it up, played a lot of the favorites and some stuff that people hadn't heard as much too as well. He's got a great voice, doesn't he? Kane Brown got a just a really easy to listen to voice and just makes it a party. So I hope everybody had a great time over there last night. They're back at the fair to kind of doing, you know, 10 straight days or whatever it is instead of doing the weekends. And I talked to a few people just around town who said, "Yeah, I'm going to the fair tonight," or "I was there yesterday in the middle of the week." So seems like there's still some excitement about going to the fair middle of the week. So
way better.
Oh, JT is willing to chime in here. What now?
Way better
to have it continuous days.
Yeah.
Than just the weekend.
We didn't go last year because on the weekends we go to the lakes on the weekends.
Oh, there is that.
And we went a couple days ago. Sanford had their employee appreciation party.
Uh-huh.
And so we brought the kids and
JT's wife who works for Sanford. Yeah, so
spent a bunch of money on
yes, you did.
Candy and cheese curds.
Oh, I tell you
ice
what,
cream.
So good. Love fair food. I love fair food. That's one of the reasons I run is because fair food and desserts and donuts and red wine. You got to do it. Yeah. So now how long can the boys handle a trip to the fair before it's time to just put them in the stroller and head back home?
Oh, they would have stayed there all night.
Oh, is that right?
They didn't want to go home.
Oh. No, okay, there's that. And then there's, are they crabby and want to stay, or do they still stay in a pretty good mood as they're there?
They stay in a good mood until we say it's time to go home. And then
Very nice.
And then it was tough to get them to bed after we filled them up with cotton candy and ice cream and everything else.
Yes, that's right. But you got to do it, and it's good times, good memories, and I tell you, JT, when your kids are young, I say this all the time, like, what do they say? The days are long, but the years are short. And when your kids are young, you're like, would you just hurry up and get older so I don't have to tie your shoes and change your diapers or whatever? Now here I am at 57, what I wouldn't do to go back for a day and change a diaper or two and have a couple little ones running around the house. So these are sweet days. I know you and Siri appreciate them and love those times, but it gets long, right? I mean, it's tough when you're working and the family and all that, but I know you guys are great parents to your kiddos, so good for you. Some people just won't take their kids out at all. They're like, "We're not even going to deal with it." Well, that's no way to live, for gosh sakes. You got to do it.
You got to get their energy out somehow.
Yeah. Well, and plus mom can say, honey, take the kids for a little bit. I'm going to go walk around, look at the crafts or whatever. You got the boys for a little bit. And then you can generally do the same thing later on if you need a little break. So it's some good stuff. We've got a few people chiming in on the question that we've been talking about today. JT, what are your thoughts on this, too? You're a man of faith yourself. And I have kind of said my stance on this is I don't want the government telling people what they can say in church, although I'm a little conflicted with the whole tax exemption thing. But generally speaking, if my pastor wants to say something, you know, he shouldn't have to worry about what the government says about it. But my personal preference is while I like pastors to talk about issues that affect us all and how scripture applies to them, I just would be really uncomfortable if my pastor came out and recommended a candidate, even if it was a candidate that I would like. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, without getting too deep on you, I guess as a man of faith, I say, where does morality come from? And the truth comes from God and mm-hmm. God's word. And so if I'm basing my worldview on the truth, then my morality comes from there. And so when I start looking at politics and candidates, I go, which one aligns with morality? And actually, I forget his name now. Former pastor in Warroad was on with Scott a couple of days ago, and he said something that made a lot of sense to me. He said, morality and politics, they end up intersecting at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pastor is preaching about morality and the word, at some point that intersects with decisions that are being made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I want my pastor saying, vote for Trump? No. But when my pastor tells me, here's what the Bible says about all sorts of different issues, there are different politicians that align, not perfectly, because nobody's perfect.
Of course. Yeah.
There are different politicians that align a little bit better than others.
100%. Yeah, I think that's well said. It's kind of where I come down on it, too. I don't know. Maybe it's just because our world seems to have become so hyper-politicized. And, you know, you can't get away from politics. You watch a baseball game and there's some social justice message on the fence. You watch an award show and it turns into, you know, I hate this guy. I love these people and we're not being fair to this other group of people. You can't get away from it. So if I'm in church, I just want to get away. It's like when I watch a ball game or watch a movie, I don't want politics, even if it's stuff that I agree with. I just like that mental break. Maybe that's where I'm coming down on this.
Yeah, and the Bible will tell you that all government, all politicians are God-ordained.
That's right. He appoints the leaders. It says that.
Even when Joe Biden is our president and he doesn't align necessarily
seriously
with my political views,
mm-hmm.
you know, I still need to accept the fact that it's God-ordained and there's a...
He allowed it to happen. I know. It doesn't make sense to me either. Someday all this stuff will make sense to me, but it doesn't in this world. A couple of texts and emails have come in on this one. XM from the email line. You can send your emails in to studio@flagfamily.com. Keep politics out of the church. They should be teaching Jesus Christ, not politics. Here's the distinction is, I want my church to talk about issues. I don't want them to talk about politics. Politics to me is how the Democrats and Republicans maneuver to get certain things done. That I think we all hate that stuff. Like I don't know hardly anybody who really enjoys that. Like, oh, how do they get enough votes together to make this happen? And how do they filibuster this and that? I know very few people who like that or want to talk about that. But I think everybody wants to talk about issues and things like that. But, you know, choosing a candidate, this is the Republicans bad, Democrats good, or vice versa, or, you know, political process, that makes us all yawn. So I think we need to talk about issues in the church, because that's a big that's a big part of everyday life. And we gotta know how, like you said, JT, how the whole thing comes together there. Pastor Howard from Crossroads Christian Fellowship called me yesterday. At the very end of the show, we didn't have enough time to really work through it, but he came out and said that he is a pastor himself, obviously, and he said, basically, I do believe that churches should be involved in politics, and I have no problem recommending who to vote for. I talk a lot about who not to vote for, if I can remember the conversation with Howard well. And so he in his church, he's got no issues doing that. And you know what? As a parishioner or someone who attends, you have that choice. If you like that, then that's go for it. Go to Pastor Howard's church and he'll tell you who to vote for. My preferences, my style is I kind of would say let's not go there, but that's, you know, the freedom you have. Go to a church that aligns with what you like, and if you don't like it, then maybe you go to a different church. But if you do like that stuff, maybe Pastor Howard can grow his church. He sent a very nice, long email. I might have a time to read it today during the Steve Hallstrom show, but I don't have time here. And he kind of gives a little background on the Johnson Amendment, so it's some pretty good history there, too. So if you want to listen today between 4 and 6, I'll make this promise to you that I will read that for you. So I like this debate because I don't think anybody's wrong or right. I think it's a personal style thing. But it's a good conversation. From the text line, hey, Steve, I listen every day as a truck driver driving up from Aberdeen, South Dakota. Well, thank you, my friend, for that. Tell Tracy, he goes on to say, happy birthday, because it's my birthday, too. Wow. Let's see. Bruce. I found a name here at the end. Bruce, happy birthday to you. And if you're just joining us, yes, the lovely Tracy Hallstrom's having a birthday today. She's 29 this year, so congratulations to Tracy for defying the laws of aging. And congratulations and happy birthday to you too, Bruce. Bruce says, I hope she has a good day. My day, well, drive, heading to Tioga. Wonderful. You're getting out to some wonderful people, great part of the world in Tioga. We've got a conservative talk station up there as well. So, Bruce, you're going to be able to listen to the flag until you get to the flag east anyway, WZFG, until you get closer up there. Then you can listen to KTGO up in Tioga. You can catch us all day long. So thank you, Bruce, and I'm sure that the lovely Tracy would say thank you for the birthday wishes as well. Another text in here this morning said, Steve, there's a lot of talk right now about Brennan and Comey being investigated, but rest assured they will never be indicted and put in prison. Investigation after investigation over the years, nobody ever goes to jail. They would take the whole government with them. Too many corrupt people. Military tribunals are the only way. You know, but someday before I die, the Brennan Comey thing, yes, I hope they get investigated. But I was talking about this yesterday on my show. Like, there's some things I hope someday that they investigate and get to the bottom of, or they'll lay me in the grave and I will be crabby that we never got to the bottom of it. I want to know what the real vote total was in 2020 with Biden and Trump. I want to know, because what they're telling me doesn't make any sense to me. And you probably know the details as much as I do. But, like, you know, 81 million votes, the most votes ever. He got more votes than Obama. I just, you know, all the swing states, all these counties, whatever. There were so many statistical anomalies or irregularities that I don't believe what they are telling me. Maybe somehow Joe Biden did get more votes than Donald Trump, but I just highly doubt it. And look at what damage was done to our country in those 4 years. I want to get to the bottom of that. I want to get to the bottom of Hillary Clinton and the ball peen hammers and the hard drives and the bleach and all that. I want to know what happened. And I want to know what happened with Joe Biden and all this money that came in from overseas. It stinks to high heaven. And of course, the congressional Republicans say, oh, we got all this information. We got all this. And then we find out from Kelly Armstrong, yeah, nobody really wants to know anything about it. It's too close to the elections. I think it'll be controversial. I have my head in my hands going, what are you telling me? So there are a few things that I want to get to the bottom of. The Comey, Brennan stuff, maybe too, but that's deep down on my list. There's a lot more stuff I want to know. I want to know about the Epstein list. Speaking of lists, I want to know about the Epstein list too. So there's all that. All right, 7:52. We got one more break to hammer out in this hour of the program. When we come back, though, this is a subject that is kind of near and dear to my heart. It's property taxes. In the state of Florida, They are really getting serious about potentially eliminating property taxes. Even their congressional delegation is like, we're all about it. Ron DeSantis can pull this off and we want to make it happen. Florida again for the win. We're going to talk about that when we come back on the Steve. There's number two on the Need to Know Morning Show. Be back right after this. All right. It is time for the 3-degree guarantee. And you hear this every morning right around this time. Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, gives us the 3-degree guarantee. And if Dino is off by more than 3 degrees, somebody gets to win a prize. All right, Dino, what did you say yesterday and how'd you do?
I was forecasting 91 yesterday, and we made it to 88. So ooh, just slid in there.
That's a strike on the outside corner, my man.
Far outside corner, but we'll take it.
Absolutely. We'll take it. It's a win. They don't care how you get them.
That's right. Today we're going to go 82. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a nice start to the day, but we've got showers on radar right now west of a Jamestown Devil's Lake Basin line, and those are moving east-northeastward, so they'll get here by this afternoon. But if you got an early morning tea time, even into the early afternoon, I think you're going to be fine. But as the cold front approaches, we'll see showers and storms develop. Some of those could pack a punch as we go into Lakes Country this afternoon as winds turn to the northwest at 10 to 25. So, again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 82.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Dean. Appreciate that. 7:57 here on the Need to Know Morning Show. I've had one an hour where I said, started to say, Steve Alstrom Show. So my buddy Jeff Bradall can crack open his second Hams beer playing the drinking game here this morning. You texted earlier and said, every time you say Steve Alstrom Show or start, say it, we can crack open a Hams beer. So he's had two before 8 a.m. I'll let you decide if that's a problem or if it's just taking advantage of a good opportunity. Kim is also having a birthday today. I was saying earlier that my wife Tracy having a birthday, and then Bruce texted in, said it's his birthday too. Kim is having a birthday, but she says, I'm sitting at the DMV update my driver's license, I think she meant to say. I was the third person in at 7 a.m. and my number is 500. They've seen three people in 18 minutes and there are 11 stations. Why does it take this long? Oh, Kim. So I am just like you. I'm one like, okay, just go over to DMV. It can't take that long. My wife, who I've been talking about, I guess, the whole show, she's a smart one in the bunch. And she says, look, trust me. Make an appointment at the DMV. I'm like, make an appointment. Give me your phone. She makes the appointment or whatever. And I realize why she is the smartest woman in my house, because I go in and it is like there's 80,000 people at the DMV. And a number of them new Americans, and it seems, you know, it takes them a little longer. They're trying to get the feel for it or whatever. But I happen to go on New American Day or whatever. They might have been handing out, you know, free treats to the new Americans, because it was full of people, which is fine. But I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that Tracy made that appointment for me, because it is going to take forever. And the guy, when I go in, he says, do you have an appointment? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, good. Thank you. I'm like, okay, that tells you something. So Kim, hang in there. It's tough. The DMV, why does it? It just, there are so many good people that work in government jobs and at the DMV, of course. But this is why I say, given the opportunity, the private sector will always do things better than the government will. If that was a private sector running that thing, it would be done way differently than it is right there. But of course, it's a government thing, and so it's just going to be a little clunky with good people doing the work in there, but just a little clunky. All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the Need to Know Morning Show, I've got a audio clip from Congressman Greg Stube of Florida. Florida's getting serious. We're doing okay on that so far. So there you go. Glad to be with you here today. Thanks to all of you who have sent in a note of encouragement, saying it's good to hear me on in the morning again. I did this for a number of years. When I first started here about 10 years ago, we launched the Need to Know Morning Show. And that was definitely an experience. Loved getting my day started, being on the air, kind of catching everybody up on what had happened overnight. The early wake-up call was a little bit of a thing, but I got used to it. And today I bounced right out of bed and said, you know what, this is going to be fun getting back on the morning horse. I'll be back at 4 o'clock today. I got a bunch of stuff that I'm starting to see here already starting to pop that I'm excited to dive in a little bit more. If you are interested in finances, stock markets, economics, I try not to get too wonky with that stuff because it gets in the weeds in a hurry. But it's a hobby, but it's an interest of mine. And I really like paying attention to what's happening in our economy, what's happening with businesses, and how that will affect you and me. Because what happens with inflation? What happens with the value of the dollar? What happens with tariffs and all that? It really does matter to you and me when we go to the store and pay for things or want to buy things. It matters to our personal finances. I'm going to talk a little bit today on my show about this being a good time to buy stocks. And I've thought this for a while, but a thought occurred to me yesterday when I was listening to talk about there could be a shadow Fed popping up here later this year. And not to get too in-depth on this one, but Jerome Powell is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and he drives the whole effort of the Federal Reserve. And he's a spokesperson, and he's kind of the guy they rally around. And he is convinced that we need to keep interest rates higher in the country. So the rate that you and I would pay for a car loan or student loan or credit card, he wants that higher right now than I believe it should be, and a lot of conservative economists believe that it should be. And not conservative economists, just economists. Because we are looking at the inflation data so far, you know, 4 months into tariffs or whatever, and we really haven't seen anything other than inflation's going down. And he keeps saying, well, I'm worried, you know, something could maybe happen someday. Like, well, the Federal Reserve has never made decisions that way. But for some reason, he's doing it that way. And so Trump is ripping him left and right about this. And I think at this point, it's becoming very apparent that these decisions that he is making are political. I wouldn't have said that even 2 months ago, maybe a month ago, but it's very obvious right now that there is no inflation data that mandates the Federal Reserve keep interest rates where they are. Every other free market country in the world has lowered rates many times, so there's something weird going on, and I can only believe that he's got it in for Trump, and Trump has ripped him, so it might just be two guys going at it. Well, Trump could name the successor. Powell's term is up in May, and Trump could name a successor this fall, and just you kind of just then have another guy sitting there giving opinions on what should happen. Well, if I was in the chair already, I would do this and that. That's kind of what they call shadow Fed. I think Trump is going to do it because he wants to put pressure on Powell. I don't think it's going to matter to Powell at all. Like, he's just going to continue to do his thing and stand by his gun. So, I mean, give him credit for that. At least he's going to stick to it. But one of the reasons that I believe that the market is going to go up is part of that whole story. And I'll tease you a little bit with that. But there's a reason with Powell in May stepping out of the job that tells me that stocks are going to go up at that point. So we'll dive into that today in probably the 4 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock hour of the Steve Hallstrom Show, when I can say that and not worry about saying the Need to Know Morning Show again. All right, a couple of texts I want to get to here. One in particular, we were talking in the first hour of the show about the caller, Justin, that called into one of our other shows on WDAY here and talked about, came back to Fargo because he knew it's a place that he could be clean and sober. There was less pressure or less drugs out there on the streets and just easier. In his words, it's not in your face as much. Well, a text came in that said the following. Good morning, Steve. I just wanted to comment on Justin's progress. I, too, have run down a much similar path. I ended up spending several years in prison, but I've been out now for about 5 years and have recently bought a house. I drive semi and make about $100,000 a year, completely sober for 15 years now. It can be done. Thanks to the help of our law enforcement and the halfway houses that have helped me out. What a great story. Isn't that awesome? Like, I say a lot of times when there's, like, bad things that hit the news cycle, like, can you believe there are people like this that walk among us? You know, these horrible people that do these unspeakable things. But there are also these people that walk among us, too. Good job, caller. Good job, Justin. That's awesome. I love those stories. Thank you for sharing that. And congratulations to you. Wow. 15 years of sobriety. I can only imagine how difficult it is to be addicted and to be able to kick that. I don't think I've ever been addicted to anything in my life. I just, maybe it's a DNA thing. Maybe I've just got lucky. Maybe I can shrug stuff off. I don't know what it is. But, man, there's no level of toughness, I don't think, in human beings than those who are addicted. No higher level of toughness than those who are addicted that battle that and come out on top. That is insane to me how you can, like, every fiber of your being is craving whatever it is. You know, with alcohol, drugs, or whatever, you're like you're physically shaking. Your body's craving that drug so much when you're coming out of it. To go through that and to be able to shake that off, man, more power to you. Huge credit there. Steve, I listen to the Flag Family from the time my alarm goes off throughout the entire day, but when I leave work and need to leave the day behind, I turn it over to God and listen to gospel music, even if I have to turn the genius Mark Levin off to focus or refocus. I don't mind talking politics with my pastor, but I need his sermon to refocus me. Well, there's another one who says, I don't mind if pastor wants to say, go Trump, go. So thank you for sharing that. We've been talking about that today, too. You can weigh in on that, too. 701-271-1100. Noel sends a text. Steve, great to hear you on the morning show today. Have an awesome weekend. Well, thank you, my friend. Isn't that nice? Someone took the time to just say, good to hear you, Steve. Have a good weekend. That's why I love this audience. This part of the world, we have so many good people here. Steve, you're right. Powell has Trump derangement syndrome and wants to make Trump look bad. Trump also promotes buying stock now. Yes, he does. And, I mean, some of that's self-serving, of course, but I think it's genuine. He wants stocks to go up because that's a good thing for a president to say, look, the market's up since I'm president right now. He's also all about the Bitcoin, which... If you've not heard me talk about Bitcoin, my little Cliff Notes version on this in about 20 seconds is I know a lot of really smart, successful people who are very conservative. They are not like get-rich-quick people that are all about the Bitcoin and say there's too much momentum behind it. It's left the station. Nobody really knows what Bitcoin does. It's not backed by anything. In theory, it could crash tomorrow, but it won't. There's just too much momentum here behind Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is making highs before anything else coming out of dips and troughs in market charts. So whereas the stock market will kind of trend sideways and you start to see a little bit of good news, Bitcoin takes off faster than the fastest taking off stocks. And that, to me, means something. I'm not a big technical analyst on this, but when you have upward momentum, upward volume coming out of down cycles, it's usually the companies or the issues or the securities or whatever that lead the way faster out of that, that have longer staying power. And that's what we're seeing in Bitcoin. So I would like to buy some. I have a plan to buy some. I now have a little bit of cash that I can do that. I haven't for a number of years, had a wedding and kids in college, whatever. Now I've got a little bit that I can do something. I can't buy a Bitcoin at $113,000, but I do want to be in it and just kind of putting my strategy together for how to do it. Because right now you're buying at record highs, which is typically not great business. But if it goes to record highs on big volume, generally can mean you got something good ahead of you. So Trump is behind that too. I just know this. I am convinced with every fiber of my being that the next 12 months are going to be very good for stocks, for real estate, maybe even for gold and silver because there's enough uncertainty out there, but Bitcoin as well. I don't know about the other cryptos. I get a lot of emails from people now that are talking about XRP, which is another kind of crypto coin. I don't know anything about it. But I know some people, again, smart people who say, I'm going to get rich off of this thing. Whenever I hear people say I'm going to get rich off it, it makes me a little nervous. I want a little bit of it, money that I can lose, that if I had to lose it, it wouldn't kill me. That's the stuff you put in Bitcoin. So, all right, when we come back, I do want to get to this Florida property taxes story because this has been a big I don't know, pet peeve of mine, but just government spending is a big pet peeve of mine. And I was in favor of Measure 4, and I'll kind of recap that a little bit for you. But I love what they're talking about in Florida right now. They are serious about it down there. So we'll talk about that as we continue on the Need to Know Morning Show here on AM 1100 The Flag, FM 92.3.
Never mind, Scotty's in.
Never mind, says Dean Wysocki. Well, you never mind, Dean. Whatever you're going to talk to Scott about, that can wait, because this is the Need to Know Morning
That's
Show.
That's right.
Yeah, not the Steve Alsham Show, which I've started to say, but...
Just twice? Yeah. I thought JT said it was more than that.
Well, he did, but he was wrong.
Okay.
He doubted my ability to run a good ship. He actually was very fair for him to doubt. But so far, we've made it through okay. Speaking about so far so good, how about this morning? What a perfect summer morning.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, no doubt. A great morning for a walk, a little bike ride if you've got an early morning tea time. It is a little humid, but that's okay. I mean, we've seen worse. And if you look out to the west and north, you'll see more clouds, and that's ahead of a cold front that will be moving into the area as we head into the afternoon. So the morning hours look okay, but as we head into the afternoon, we'll see showers and a few thunder showers developing. We'll have a high of 82, then winds shift to the northwest this afternoon about 10 to 25, and we'll see those temperatures slide off into the 70s. Now, some of those storms could pack a little punch east of the valley, I think into Lakes Country, with hail possible, maybe some gusty winds with that. Something we'll keep an eye on this afternoon for you. And then those showers move eastward tonight. We'll have mostly cloudy skies most of the night, but we'll start to clear out towards morning with lows in the upper 50s and northwest winds 10 to 15. And then Saturday, look for filtered sunshine. I say filtered sunshine because we're going to have Canadian smoke move into the area as we head throughout the day with the northwest wind at 10 to 20, highs in the upper 70s. That smoke lifts out of the area on Sunday. It's going to feel summer-like, more humid, breezy, with highs in the upper 80s, low 90s on Monday. And then showers and storms come in late Monday and lasting into Tuesday with cooler 70s in the forecast for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Should be able to give that air conditioner a little rest by the middle of next week. We might even have some morning lows in the upper 40s.
Oh, boy.
That'll feel nice.
That will feel nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it hot in the summer, but when you get those brisk mornings,
it feels good.
Starts feeling like football weather, Dino. We get excited about
that. Let's not push that. Let's enjoy summer first.
I know. It's my struggle because I love football season. The older I get, I become a little more like a kid, I think, every fall about football season. But I don't want summer to leave either. So,
right?
Yeah, it's
you kind of struggle
dilemma.
Between both.
Yeah, you do. All right, Dean. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate hanging out with you this morning. Thanks for doing it.
You got it, bud.
Okay. What was I just telling you? What was I just telling you? Bitcoin, I said, it's going higher. And it just got to a new record high, and if the volume piles in on this thing, it might be off to the races when I'm trying to find... So just as I'm saying that, we go to commercial break, and Fox Business, who I have up in the studio here, shows a graphic. Bitcoin is up 4% today to 117,822. Closed yesterday at 113,000. It's been a record high for a couple days, but now institutions I see on Fox Business are starting to pile into Bitcoin ETFs. ETF is exchange traded funds. It's like a mutual fund, but it's a little bit different. But anyway, the big guys are starting to buy Bitcoin. And so here we are. I'm sitting there kicking myself for not finding a way. But when it's a record highs and going up, it's like that doesn't seem like the right time to buy it. So here we go. So doggone it. I'll have to figure that out. All right. Before we finish up, I've been telling you I want to get to this, and I'm going to do it, doggone it, before we finish the show. Property taxes, right? It was a big conversation here last year with Measure 4, and it didn't go through. I was for it. I said, it's time for somebody else to get uncomfortable figuring out how to pay these things in our state. I'm tired of getting uncomfortable paying for property taxes. But anyway, I was in the minority. I lost. Whatever. It's fine. But there is a movement going on in Florida. Ron DeSantis is talking about it, and they are basically saying down there, like, yeah, we get it. We know it's going to have to come from somewhere else, but if we can eliminate property taxes, basically we eliminate the rent you pay to the government for the home that you already own. So not only has Ron DeSantis been talking about that, but now Congressman Greg Stube has been talking about this as well. He was on yesterday with Maria Bartiromo on Mornings with Maria, and they were talking about this issue that we've been talking about a lot on the Steve Hallstrom Show and certainly other programs here on the Flag.
I vote against consistently up in Washington doing studies to know about things and get results about things that we already know the answers to. The governor has said very clearly that he supports a property tax decrease and eliminating property taxes in the state. I actually support that. I think that would be a huge boon for Florida. Not only do we not have an income tax, but then doing away with the property tax would be great for the economy in the state of Florida. We don't need some type of study done to know that eliminating property taxes is going to help Floridians that live in our great state that own property. So obviously, the study is unnecessary. He's made his position very clear. I support his position on that. I think reducing property taxes versus reducing the sales tax is a much better way to go for residents of the state of Florida. Yeah.
So, and he makes a point that I said quite a bit last summer during the whole Measure 4 discussion, and that is, what a better way to recruit people to your state. I mean, we all know, right? Every state is looking for people to come in and start businesses or work at those businesses or something like that. Can you imagine if you were able to go out to the country and say, here in North Dakota, here in Florida, here in wherever, we don't do property taxes. Now, again, I understand. And a lot of you got after me last summer. You're like, got to pay for this somehow. I said, I get it. The point is, we need to force people to make tougher decisions on spending than what we're doing already. So I love it. And Stubbe on his X post on this said, eliminating property taxes would be a major win for Florida. It would ease the burden on homeowners, boost our economy, make our state an even better place to live. Let's make it happen. That's what DeSantis is saying, too. So how do you replace it? That I don't know. It's going to have to be a combination of paying for it in other ways and then spending cuts. But if you have to cut spending, then you find ways to do like, right? It's like if you say, I should drop a couple of pounds or whatever, you know, I'm carrying along a little bit more than I need to. That's one thing. But when the doctor says, Steve, you better lose 20 pounds, your heart's in bad shape, and you'll be dead by the end of the year, you say, okay, it's like that then. And you find a way because you have to. We don't make hard choices. We don't do hard things many times unless we have to, and that certainly is true for politicians and taxes. I didn't even get to talk about the Fargo story that Scotty had with Tim Mahoney. We did that yesterday on my show, so I think we covered that a little bit. But when the mayor says, well, population has risen by 20%, yes, and you've risen our taxes in the city of Fargo every year, too. So don't make it sound like, well, all of a sudden we got this 20% growth that we now need to have some 20% tax increase for, or spending increase for. So.